On today's show, we'll continue our look at Mary's Retreat. Stay tuned. It's coming right up now. Hey there, welcome to the show. Come on in and sit down, relax. My name is Gary Zimak. I plan to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you can as well. Day 25. Can you believe it? Day 25 of our 33-day preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. Great to have you here on the program. Today, we'll continue our look at Mary's Retreat. We started this yesterday. And during this week devoted to the teaching of St. John Paul II, Father Gately is exploring Mary's life as being a retreat. You know, we're on a retreat right now. We're on a retreat as we prepare for total consecration. He proposes, and it's a really cool idea, I like it, that Mary's life was a retreat because she had to discern God's will as she went through some pretty difficult situations. So we'll look at that today. We'll continue that today. And just so you know what's coming up, tomorrow we'll go through day 3 of Mary's retreat. And then let's see what we have. That's Tuesday, day 27. On Wednesday will be Marian Entrustment Part 1. Thursday, Marian Entrustment Part 2. And then, believe it or not, on Friday of this week, we begin day 29, which is the first of our 5 days devoted to review. Now, since we're so close to the finish line, let me just say that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday are the 4 days, devoted to the 4 weeks that we've just been through. We'll review those 4 days. And then the fifth day of the review period, which is Tuesday, next Tuesday, is putting it all together. It's where we sum up the entire retreat and we get ready to make our total consecration, which we'll do on Wednesday, October the 7th, the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. Technically, it's a memorial, not a feast, but we say the feast in the generic sense. It's a day of celebration. It's the day devoted to the Holy Rosary, which, by the way, we're coming up to the month of the Rosary. That's why I like the fact that we do our consecration during the month of October. There are a lot of different times we can do it. October is the month devoted to Our Lady and her Rosary. Now, since we make our total consecration on a Wednesday, and again, we'll talk about this more as we get closer, as we get ready to make our total consecration, Thursday and Friday of next week, I'll use that to wrap up. So it'll be nice as we bring things to a close, and I really hope that you'll be able to stick with me and continue listening to the show. We're going to talk about different topics as I do. The show will remain 30 minutes each night. I'll have a little more time to discuss the daily mass readings than I do now, but that's the format of the show. In the upcoming days, I'll let you know what themes I'll keep. I haven't decided yet whether I'll keep some of the old themes from before or do new themes, but I really hope you'll be able to listen to the show as we continue to grow closer to Christ. That's the purpose of this program, and I hope some of you will continue to listen to the program. Today also, we'll try to look at the daily mass readings. I always say that we'll try to do it because I can't promise how much of the reading, how many of the readings we'll really look at. I want to base this around the material for the retreat. But I do want you to hear the Word of God as well, so we'll at least read the Gospel today. How's that sound? Any questions, please feel free to email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. The emails have dropped off a little bit, but that, to me, that means a good thing. That means you don't have questions. But if you do have questions as we go toward the end of this retreat, I would hope that you would send them my way. gary@followingthetruth is my email address. I want to remind you also that I would love to speak at your parish. If you want to invite me to speak, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com, for more information. I have to say also that I want to thank you for really helping me out, both with your prayers and with your financial contributions. And again, I'm going to ask you if you, I don't mention this much, but I really do need to bring it up. If you would like to see my work continue, I really desperately need your financial support. So if you're able to help me out, I would appreciate if you go to followingthetruth.com, visit the donate tab. There's a donate tab there. You click on that. It'll take you to where you can donate securely through PayPal. It's totally secure, And you can either make a one-time donation, which is very much appreciated, or you can become a monthly sponsor. Now, ever since the economy started going down a few years ago, it's taken its toll on my ministry. So if you're able to help me out and you would like to see the work that I do continue, because I do this full-time and I support my family this way, God has been good to us, but it requires me to ask for donations. As much as I don't like to do it, I have to do it so that the work can continue, because I really believe strongly in the work that I do. People need to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to become a monthly sponsor, you can do that from that donate page as well, followingthetruth.com. I wouldn't be bringing it up if it wasn't really necessary. So if you're able to help me out, if you can do it, I would greatly appreciate it. But don't put yourself in any financial jeopardy, but know that your donations are still needed and very, very much appreciated. And as always, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the email address to get in touch with me at. Okay, just a recap, since we did speak yesterday. Yesterday evening, I had the privilege of watching. I wasn't able to go in person, but I watched the Papal Mass on TV, watched all the news coverage. This has been an incredible weekend. And when you put the World Meeting of Families before this, I mean, we have had, I live in the Philadelphia area, as you probably know, we've had such good, positive news coverage. We are center stage right now. All eyes are on the Catholic Church right now. That's a good thing. Now, the stories were incredibly positive. Some of them lacked a little information, lacked a little accuracy, but for the most part, this is good stuff. Pope Francis has got the world's attention. Praise God for that. But here's the catch. You and I need to step up to the plate now. We need to get busy. We need to take advantage of this momentum that he's gained for us. The Holy Father came here. He gained a lot of momentum for us. We need to take over now and bring Christ to those around us. People are going to ask questions. People are going to look at us as Catholics. We are not, I mean, don't take this the wrong way, but you and I, we're not normal Catholics. We're the, I know, that's, how do you not take that the wrong way, right? What I mean is that you're trying to make a total consecration to Jesus through Mary. You're listening to this program every night. The average Catholic isn't going to make the effort to do that. And it's a harsh reality of life. It's the truth. Most people don't want to go the extra mile. We need to change that. We need to make sure that people see us and they see Catholics who are happy, who love Christ, and who love their faith, and who are willing to share Christ with others. That's up to you and I. It may be in our own home. That's where it all starts, with our families. It may be in the office, with our coworkers, if we're in school, our fellow students, if we're living in an assisted living facility, maybe with the other residents. If we're living in an apartment complex with the other residents of the apartment complex, wherever it is, the people in the store, they need to know about Christ, because the world, for the most part, doesn't know that Christ is real and that he could be an intimate part of our lives. And the people need to know that. People need to know that it's not just a cliche when we talk about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's real. That's a real relationship. So that's up to you and I to do that. If you're worried, if you're scared, you're in the right place. Because by making this total consecration, you're going to be brought closer to Christ, and you're going to be given the grace that you need to be able to share him, even when it's not easy. So continue on. You're on the right track. We are almost finished now. But just know that people are interested in Catholicism right now. But they need to know that as Catholics, we have a relationship with Christ. And if you're concerned that you don't have that relationship, well, that's one of the fruits of total consecration. The Blessed Mother is going to help you with that. But your part is to speak with him every day. Doesn't matter what you say, you just need to speak with him. You need to try to receive the sacraments as often as possible. You need to read your scripture. And again, we're not talking about 5 hours of this a day. You could do it in a couple of minutes. I mean, as you start slowly, you're eventually going to build up as your relationship with him grows. You're going to want to spend more time with him. But you need to make sure that you have that relationship with our Lord so that you can share him with other people. And I just felt I had to mention that, because this is a really exciting time. People are looking. to the Catholic Church right now. It's amazing what the Holy Father did for us. He really made it interesting for people. So continue on, continue moving forward. And as always, if you have questions, you let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day to love you, to serve you, to know you. We ask you to help us continue moving forward with our total consecration. Help anyone who is not feeling well. Help anyone who is anxious or lonely. Help anyone struggling with an addiction or a financial problem. Please allow us to get to know the Blessed Mother, to get to know your Son Jesus, to get to know the Holy Spirit, and to get to know you, Father, in heaven. I turn this show over to you, and I ask you to use me to do your work. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Saint Louis de Montfort, Saint John Paul II, and Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Wait a minute. You know what I forgot, don't you? See, I got too keyed in on the intentions. Yes, that's right. Pathetic as it is, I forgot to turn to our Blessed Mother. So let's do that today at this point. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorry about that, Blessed Mother. I got a little ahead of myself today. Certainly don't want to leave her out through this process. I want to let you know, too, that I was over in the Philadelphia area taping my monthly radio show. I do a monthly radio show on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia. And I stopped at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, which is a beautiful shrine, which was, sometimes it's called American Częstochowa. It's a mirror, or at least the bottom church is a replica of the original shrine in Poland. But while I was there, they have Our Lord exposed in the Blessed Sacrament. I prayed for you before Our Lord, for everyone making this total consecration. So I just wanted to let you know that I got you covered in prayer. Please continue to pray for all of us who are making this total consecration, that we may be able to get the maximum benefit from it, you know, because we really do need the prayers. All right, and thank you for that. Mary's Retreat Day 2 is what we're starting today. Yesterday we talked about how Mary's life was really much, in a certain way, was similar to our lives in that she wasn't given all of the details up front. She had to ponder God's his plan in her heart in order to find out what he wanted her to do. So we're looking at what Father Gately calls Mary's Retreat. We're on a retreat now. We're pondering God and his message in our heart as we go through this 33-day retreat. Father Gately stated that Mary is doing the same thing. Now, yo, I need to take a sip of my coffee for a minute. Beverage du jour today, a nice cup of decaf coffee. I hope you've got a good beverage and ready to get going. I almost forget. Dude, my beverages have not been that exciting lately. Once we get the consecration done, I'll bring back some all-star beverages so you have something to look forward to. Okay, Mary's Retreat Day 2. Yesterday we began a retreat within our retreat by joining Mary's retreat. In other words, we began to ponder the ways that Jesus prepared Mary to understand and fully embrace her new motherly role in the kingdom of God. Today we continue this retreat at the wedding feast of Cana, where Mary's motherly mediation gloriously shines forth. Let's review this scene as detailed in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. The mother of Jesus is at a wedding feast, and Jesus and his disciples are also invited, presumably because of Mary. The wine runs short. Mary notices this and brings it to the attention of her son. They have no wine, she said. And then Jesus seems to rebuke her and says, "Woman, What have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Mary nevertheless tells the servants, do whatever he tells you. The servants follow Jesus' orders to fill stone jars with water. Then the water becomes wine, and the disciples believe. Let's now ponder deeply John Paul's commentary on this scene. His words get to the heart of Mary's role in our lives and explain why we should be seeking to consecrate ourselves to her. Now, these are the words of St. John Paul II. Cana clearly outlines the new dimension, the new meaning of Mary's motherhood. It is a new kind of motherhood according to the Spirit and not just according to the flesh. That is to say, Mary's solicitude for human beings, her coming to them in the wide variety of their wants and their needs. At Cana of Galilee, there is shown only one concrete aspect of human need, apparently a small one of little importance. They have no wine. But it has a symbolic value. This coming to the aid of human needs means, at the same time, bringing those needs within the radius of Christ's messianic mission and salvific power. Thus there is a mediation. Mary places herself between her son and mankind in the reality of their wants, needs, and sufferings. She puts herself in the middle. That is to say, she acts as a mediatrix, not as an outsider, but in her position as mother. She knows that as such, she can point out to her son the needs of mankind, and in fact, she has the right to do so. Her mediation is thus in the nature of intercession. Mary intercedes for mankind. And that is not all. As a mother, she also wishes the messianic power of her son to be manifested. That salvific power of his, which is meant to help man in his misfortunes. To free him from the evil which, in various forms and degrees, weighs heavily upon his life. Another essential element of Mary's maternal task is found in her words to the servants. Do whatever he tells you. The mother of Christ presents herself as the spokeswoman of her son's will, pointing out those things which must be done so that the salvific power of the Messiah may be manifested. At Cana, thanks to the intercession of Mary and the obedience of the servants, Jesus begins his hour. At Cana, Mary appears as believing in Jesus. Her faith evokes his first sign and helps to kindle the faith of the disciples. The episode at Cana in Galilee offers us a sort of first announcement of Mary's mediation, wholly oriented toward Christ, and tending to the revelation of his salvific power. And I think this is one of the most powerful biblical passages when it comes to appreciating Mary's motherly mediation. Because we see that there's a problem here. We see that the wine has run short. We also see that there is no indication that anybody told Mary that the wine ran short. How could she tell? She's doing what a mother does. A mother takes care of her children. A mother is observant. That's exactly what Mary does. So Mary noticed that there was a problem, and when we read, and I recommend you read this passage, John chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When we read this passage over again, you'll find no mention of anybody telling Mary that the wine has run short. Furthermore, we don't see anybody noticing that the wine has run short. It doesn't mean that they didn't, but there is no indication that anybody knew. The bride and groom, now obviously the Lord knew, but the bride and groom, we don't know. They may never have known that there was a problem. And I think that's a great reminder for us about our Blessed Mother, just how much she loves us. She knows we have issues in our lives. Now, we have material needs, you bet. But more importantly, we have spiritual needs. There are things in our lives that are hurting our chances for growing close to our Lord and for getting to heaven. Not saying that we're not going to get to heaven, but there are things, we have imperfections, we have sins in our lives that need to be cleaned up. There could be virtues that we need, things that are keeping us from a closer relationship with Christ. So Mary can help us with these important spiritual needs. They're important than any physical or material need that we have, because they involve our eternal salvation. They involve our relationship with her son, Jesus. And she can help us with these things. And this is the kind of help that Mary is plans on providing, especially once we give her permission. Remember, we're giving her permission to turn us into saints. We're letting her work in our lives, do whatever she needs to do so that we can become saints, so that we can become closer to Christ. And if you're starting to get a little excited about this, you should be getting excited about it. If you're frustrated over the years, if you look back over the course of your life and you think, boy, I've had a lot of time to get close to Christ, and I just don't know him as well as I should. I'm constantly committing sins. I'm constantly letting him down. I just wish that I could become a better person. Well, today you are headed toward that special day. That day when you turn your life over to Mary. Because you've seen yourself fail so many times. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about themselves, because I've seen it in my own life. I need help. And the Blessed Mother does help me. So be prepared. Don't expect your life to be turned upside down. I'm not saying that won't happen. It could happen, but it generally doesn't. But you're going to find yourself gradually becoming closer to Christ after you make this total consecration. And it might be subtle, but just trust that it's happening. And you know, like I've said before, when we stand before the Lord, we're going to be judged. I don't want to be in that position where I knew that there was something else that I could try. You know, it's one thing to go and say, Lord, yes, I messed up. I tried to lead a good life, but boy, I messed up so many times. I really tried when I made my total consecration to let your mother help me, and I still messed up. I'd rather be in that position than be in the position of saying to the Lord, yeah, I completely screwed up my life. I just committed sin after sin, and I knew I could have done more. I could have turned to your mother, but I just didn't want to do it. I don't want to be that guy, if you know what I mean. I want to be able to tell him that I tried everything. And in fact, we won't even have the option to tell him anything. He knows everything. So trying this fully approved by the church devotion of total consecration is a really good step in the right direction, because you're telling the Lord, Lord, I've messed up in the past. I want things to be different now. I want your mom to help me. And that's a really good position to be in. Father Gately's final comments, I'd like to highlight a few important points from this passage for all of us to ponder. Number one, not by necessity but by God's choice, the handmaid of the Lord who does the Father's will perfectly has a right as mother and mediatrix to point out to her son the needs of mankind. Shouldn't we have recourse to such a powerful mother of mercy with regard to our own needs and intentions? Number two, Mary needs servants who will obey her words, do whatever he tells you. Are we ready to be her servants so Jesus can begin his hour in our day? And number three, it's clear from the words, do whatever he tells you, that Mary's role is wholly oriented toward Christ and tends to the revelation of his saving power. Mary's mediation, therefore, is in union and subordinate to the one mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I want to add something, that those words, do whatever he tells you, they are Mary's final recorded words in the pages of the Bible. And as I always like to say when I go out and speak about the Blessed Mother, what else was there to say? What other advice could she give us except do whatever he tells you? That's the way you and I will get to live with him in heaven, if we do whatever he tells us. Now, let's conclude with today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, living in Mary, remind me to ask for Mary's powerful intercession in my times of need. That's an important thing. We're asking the Holy Spirit to help us remember to ask for Mary's help in our times of need. Now, tomorrow we'll conclude Mary's retreat. We'll do the third part of Mary's retreat. And then got a couple more things after that, and then we'll go into our review for final preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary. If you have questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's see, we have about 5 minutes. We have time to get in today's gospel, so let's do that. Let the Lord speak to us now as we look at the gospel for Monday of the 26th week in ordinary time. It's from Luke chapter 9, verses 46 through 50. An argument arose among the disciples about which of them was the greatest. Jesus realized the intention of their hearts and took a child and placed it by his side. And he said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you is the one who is the greatest." Then John said in reply, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he doesn't follow in our company." Jesus said to him, "Do not prevent him, for whoever is not against you is for you." I love this gospel. The first message we get is Christ said that we need to become like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And here he illustrates that point by placing a child by his side and saying to his disciples who were arguing about who was the greatest, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you is the one who is the greatest." When we look at children and we look at adults, children will rank lower on the list of importance than adults do. Adults have more rights. I mean, in general, this is what happens. But a child is very simplistic. A child is very trusting. A child is generally obedient to his or her parents. That's the way it works. So the Lord is telling us to become more obedient, to put ourselves last, to serve others, to be innocent. Children in general are innocent, more so than adults. Adults can get a little cynical. Adults can be a little self-centered. And I know there are children that can be self-centered. I get that. But in general, a child is innocent and is trusting. And I think we need to do more of that when it comes to the Lord. We have to trust him with our lives. We don't like doing that, though, because we think that we know the best. This whole idea of the disciples arguing over who's best, it sounds ludicrous, but it's really something that we do frequently because we think that we know better. We don't really want to trust God completely. When you're making your total consecration, you are totally trusting the Lord because you're looking at the gift of his mother and you're putting your life in her hands, knowing that she will lead him, or believing that she will lead you, I should say, to him. And that requires trust. That's an important concept. Finally, these last two sentences, Jesus is reminding us all that we can't be writing people off. God can work through anybody. This is the message that Pope Francis is trying to really make us understand. God can work through anybody, and we need to do our part to bring everyone that we can to the Lord. A lot of people have fallen away. They don't know the Lord. They need to know the Lord. So that's up to us. And again, this all ties in together nicely because you're being prepared for this mission through total consecration. Total consecration will bring you closer to Jesus. Then as you continue to grow closer to Jesus, what do? You go out and share him with those around you. If you don't know him well enough, you're not going to be able to share very much. So you see how that works nicely? This is all part of the mission. And it's not going to be as scary as it sounds, because as you grow closer to him, you're going to not care too much about the reactions you get, because you'll love him so much, you'll want to share him with others. That's all the time I have for now. God willing, I'm going to be back here tomorrow night. If you need anything, gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Have a great night. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. Take care.